so important that if Jesus prayed, then how much more important is it for us to pray? He shows us how to pray. This prayer is so intimate. It's almost like we can peek into the heart of Jesus.
Hope has a name. The name has a face. And when you look into his eyes of love, you will never be the same. Your only hope is Jesus. Hope has a name. Yeah.
Well, hello, I'm Dr. Peggy Banks. And I'm joined today with Babbie Mason, singer-songwriter and friend.
Hello, my friend, and hello to you who are listening today. We're glad you're with us.
We are glad that you are here with us with Hope Has a Name, which is our podcast for TWR Women of Hope. And I like to say that we're just women sitting around a table talking about things that women want to talk about.
And I wouldn't be anywhere else but right here with you and right here with our listeners talking about the things of God's Word, the Bible, and the truths that transform our lives.
Today we're going to be continuing on with a few programs, a series that we've been doing on John 17 and looking at Jesus's high priestly prayer. And today we're in the end of the passage of John 17. It's in the Gospel of John. And we're looking at verses 20 to 26. And this kind of closes this time of prayer that Jesus is having with his Father. Very personal, very intimate. He begins with praying to God for himself, which is such a good model for us to know that we can pray, request to God for ourselves, right? We can thank God for what he's done in our lives. We can ask him for the strength to persevere and to finish the work. We see those in the first five verses of this passage. And then Jesus is praying for those disciples that he's been walking with, that he's been working with for the last 3 years, and how important it is that we pray for our churches. We pray for our friends. We pray for our colleagues. We pray for those who are in the ministry. Missionaries on the field.
Yes.
And then now we're going to see how we pray for the world. Jesus prays for the world. Here in this passage, thousands of years ago, right? He's praying for the world, those who will come to know him through the disciples, through you and me. He's praying for the world. So, Babbie, let's get into this passage in
John
17.
Let's do. I want to read it because this is one of my favorite passages in the world. John 17 has transformed my life. So let me begin by reading here John chapter 17, beginning at verse 20, and I'll read through verse 26. Remember, this is a red letter passage. Jesus is praying, and this is a part of his prayer here at verse 20. I'll begin reading it there. Jesus says this, I pray for these followers, but I'm also praying for all those who will believe in me because of their teaching. Father, I pray that they can be one. As you are in me and I am in you, I pray that they can also be one in us. Then the world will believe that you sent me. I have given these people the glory that you gave me so that they can be one just as you and I are one. Verse 23, I will be in them and you will be in me so that they will be completely one. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you loved them just as much as you loved me. Father, I want these people that you gave me to be with me where I am. I want them to see my glory, which you gave me, because you loved me before the world was formed. Father, you are the one who is good. The world does not know you, but I know you, and these people know you sent me. I showed them what you are like, and I will show them again. Then they will have the same love that you have for me, and I will live in them.
Oh,
isn't
my.
That awesome?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay,
break
really.
That down for us,
okay.
Girl.
Let me start at verse 20.
Okay.
Let's just go back to the top where we began reading. I pray for these followers, but I'm also praying for all of those who will believe in me because of their teaching. This blows my mind. As Jesus was facing the most critical hours, he's facing the cross. He is praying for us. Verse 20 says, he says, not only do I pray for these disciples, those 12 that are praying, that are with him, he says, I'm also praying for all of those who will believe in me because of their teaching. Mm-hmm. So as Jesus was facing the cross, I was on his mind. Mm-hmm. You were on his heart, Peggy.
Yeah.
Those of you that are listening today, you, before you are a gleam in your mother's eye, you were on the heart and the mind of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing that it's so true. We see it here that he is really praying for the future believers.
Yes.
Right?
That's powerful.
Honestly, say that again. He was really praying for the future believers, those who will come to know him through the message of the apostles.
Yes.
This is so powerful for us to really grasp today.
The reason why this passage means so much to me, you know, I've been walking with the Lord over 50 years of my life. My father was a pastor. I was born and raised in the church. I've been going to church since 9 months before I was born. I mean, that's how long I've been going to church. I'm in church work. I'm in church ministry. I write Christian songs. I write Christian books. I mean, my whole life has just been wrapped up in the things of the church, right?
Which I think is a miracle. I mean, my life is so different from that, but I think it's such a miracle.
Well, that's why I love, you know, running with you,
yeah,
Peggy,
yeah.
Is because it doesn't matter who you are.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter your story. It doesn't matter your backstory. Jesus loves you, and
yeah.
He wants to use you.
That's right.
And he wants to reveal himself in your life.
Yes. Okay, so I'm sorry. It's okay.
No, please. No, that's beautiful. And so my point is, it doesn't matter how long you've known him. Every time you open up your Bible, God opens up his mouth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you put your ears on and you open up your heart, you can hear him say something brand new, as if you've never heard it before,
yeah,
or ever seen it before. And this is what happened to me. One Sunday, my husband and I were in church, and the pastor said this, just kind of in passing, kind of like a crowd breaker. He said, turn to your neighbor and say to your neighbor, I am God's favorite. And I thought, okay, that's kind of cute, but I'm not sure I get that, you know, because I've never heard that before. I didn't know that I was God's favorite. I was trying to process that before I said it because I was tripping on that. But I said it. And then the pastor went on to talk about his sermon. He kind of left that hanging out there for me. And I began to just search the scriptures to try to get more clarity about being God's favorite. And I thought, what does that mean? I thought God didn't play favorites. I thought, you know, that was a presumption. It felt a little awkward to assume that I could even say that I was God's favorite. And then I discovered this passage. In my searching, I found John chapter 17, verse 23.
Mm.
And this is what it says. Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, I will be in them, and you will be in me, so that they, meaning us, will be completely one. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you loved them just as much as you love me. And it was this very word that I sat down one morning in my quiet time with my coffee, and this passage right here just rose up off the page as if I'd seen it for the very first time.
Mm.
I've always known that God loves me, but that morning when I read this passage and discovered that God loves me just as much? What?
Mm.
Just as much as he loves his son. Well, girl, that was a game changer. When I realized that God loves me just as much as he loves Jesus, well, the love fest was on.
Mm.
And it began to connect so many dots that if God loves me like he loves Jesus, then he has given me everything that he's given his son. Life here on earth, heaven with Jesus, gifts, the ability to press through difficulty. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He's my friend. He loves me. He loves me without condition. I am his. I'm his gift. And I just began to just have revelation of his love for me that was overwhelming. And that's why I had to write about it in that book called Embraced by God.
Mm.
But I want you to know, Peggy, and I want our listener to know, that you are God's favorite. And it's not because of what you have done, because what we do is never enough to pay Jesus. We can never do that. But you're his favorite because of whose you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're his favorite because of what Jesus has done for you. And so what do you do with a gift? You receive it with thanks and you use it in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this is the first time that you've heard that God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus, and maybe it's blown your mind like it blew my mind, and I was walking with Jesus all of my life, and it was brand new for me. Maybe you've walked with Jesus for, you know, many years, or maybe you have a new relationship with him, and maybe this is hard for you to grasp, that God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus.
Mm.
That's why we receive it by faith, meaning we don't We may not get it quite. Mm. We may not understand it really, but we say, yes, God, I receive it. I will believe it. And I will walk in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I love that, Babbie. Just what a great message of hope. Again, hope has a name. And
that's
name
why we're here.
Is, amen. And the name is Jesus. And I think for us today to find our hope in him, we can look for so many things to find our hope in. We can find our hope in our work. We can find our hope in our health. We can find our hope in our looks, our money, our position, our intelligence, whatever we're looking for to find our hope. But hope comes from Christ. And because God so loved us, he does love each and every one of us and each and every one of you. And I love that Jesus said, I made known to them your name, right? I made known to the disciples your name and the people that were listening. That was my calling. That's what I did. That was my purpose. And I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me, like you said, may be in them. And I in them.
Yeah. You know, Peggy, a moment ago, you made a reference to him so loving us. Have you ever used the word so in this context? Like, oh, girl, I so love those shoes on you. Or, oh, I so love chocolate. Oh, I so love that man. And
yeah, I have used it in that.
You have used it in that context, right? Well, the Bible uses it in that context in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Memorizing that passage and quoting it all my life, I've kind of skated past the word so. And as a word person, one day I was reading John 3:16. As I was rediscovering his love for me all over again, I went to the dictionary and I looked up the word so. And that two-letter word has huge ramifications and definitions. Mm. And the word so means to such an extent, beyond any doubt, with great intensity.
Mm-hmm.
So, dear friend, God not only, he doesn't just love you the way we toss around the word love. He so loves you.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you beyond any doubt. He loves you with great intensity. He loves you with so much purpose and so much depth. And so much meaning and so much intensity. Amen. That's how much he loves you.
Amen. And let's take away also that Jesus is saying that we recognize God's love for us, yes, but he wants our love to be in us for others.
Yes.
So that we would love others with the love of Christ.
Wow.
There are many times it's hard for us to love others, but we can love others once we know God's love for us, no matter who they are, where they come from.
When we realize how much we've been loved.
Amen.
We can love others.
And I think this is why Jesus is praying this prayer for those future believers, you and I, that we would not only know God's love for us, but that we would love others with that same love. So listener, I'm so thankful that you have been with us for these last couple shows, these three or four shows that we've done on John 17, the high priestly prayer, recognizing that Jesus is praying, has prayed for you and me as future believers, as those who have come to know Jesus as their Savior. And if you have come to know him as your Savior, or you've been walking with the Lord and this passage has really spoken to you in a new, fresh way, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at peggy@twr.org or babby@twr.org. Continue to join us as we are talking more and more about things that women are facing in our podcast called Hope Has a Name, which is part of TWR Women of Hope.
Hope has a name.